Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson. Always happy that you've taken time out of your day and your week to join me to find out what my guests and I are going to be talking about in and around healthcare. Really appreciate you joining me. Rocking the BU Roback today. Can you believe in the middle of college football season, we've already started talking about baseball here in Waco, Texas. Went to the kickoff luncheon for the Baylor baseball team today, hearing from our coach Mitch Thompson about what's going to happen in the spring. Got some excitement brewing on the Brazos, and we'll see how things go. But, you know, we're going to put baseball aside for just a little bit so we can talk about healthcare with my guest today, Brett Kiley. Brett, welcome to I Don't Care.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Good to see you.
Glad to have you. Brett is the Vice President of Healthcare Solutions for Cyclum. Brett's just up the road from me in Frisco, just north of Dallas. And so, Brett, why don't you let's start out. Tell my audience a little bit about you, a little bit about your career. You've got a lot of history with, looks like, with CVS Health, and done a lot of great things there. And then went over to Cyclum, looks like, last year. So take it away.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thanks for having me here. I love it. Yeah, my background is 2 decades in healthcare with CVS Health. I came up running the stores in the Midwest, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, lived in Michigan, lived in Indiana. 4 years ago, joined the corporate role where I was in charge of our patient experience strategy, process improvement, call center, so many different things. Great company, great experience. Did that for 20 years. Knew I was ready to do something different, and fortunate to have a few different opportunities to pursue, and chose Cyclum, and so happy that I did. I joined in the end of December of last year, and it's been great. The company is a global company, been around 20 years, that does really advanced AI, intelligent automation work, and I lead the healthcare vertical in the United States.
Excellent. So, Well, I've had a lot of guests talking about AI in so many different formats, and so sounds like Cyclum's really focused around patient experience. So I'm really interested in hearing, you know, how do you integrate AI strategies and applications within customer experience? Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about the clients that you have. And I'm sure, you know, no client's the same. So I can't wait to hear about all the different solutions that you guys provide.
Yeah. That is true. No client's the same. There's very large clients and the average and small startups that want to grow. But it's interesting how many of them have the same problems. You know, it's a heavily regulated environment. Healthcare security is so critical. You can't make a mistake. How do I just put AI onto something? And how does it fit in? Where's the return on investment? And I think one very consistent theme with all my clients has been, we've tried a lot of things. We've piloted a lot of programs. We had a lot of big promises that this thing would be great. And probably 95% of them never got past the proof of concept. And so that's where I spend a lot of my time, is saying all the things that you probably don't want to do with AI and things you don't want to spend your money on, because there are some things that are fantastic and the high return on investment, great for patients and great for your business.
Okay. So like what? Because, you know, I'm a baby AI user. You know, I'll get into the different applications and I'll say, hey, write an email about this, or take a look at this document and synthesize this for me, or, you know, don't make me sound like such a jerk, you know, help me. Yeah. I mean, That is my extent of AI right now, and I'm trying to learn more about it. But good grief, I'm sure you guys are doing a lot more than just that.
Yeah, but that's a great use case right there. You say what you really feel and then have it make it so it's more professional. Absolutely, that's good. And here's what I would say is the first thing that we do, the first thing that I look at, because I came from this operations, I came from this healthcare field and understand how things are done on the other side of it. And then when I go into these clients, and AI is not necessarily the solution to a bad process that you already have. Mm-hmm. So if you have a good, well-running, functional process and you add AI, everything just goes so much faster. And not just a little bit faster, but a lot faster. But if you have a very broken process and think, I'm just going to put AI into this and that's going to fix it, It's not. And so that's where I go back to let's first fix the actual process that you have and then layer in AI where it makes sense. And the nice part about our company is we have 4,500, you know, really awesome data scientists, AI people that can build custom, but then we also partner with every vendor. So we don't have a product to sell. And I think that has caused a lot of confusion in the marketplace because while you've seen it, how many startups there are that put AI behind their name and now they've got this new product, right? And it's unfortunate because really, you need to fix your actual process. You need to look at the whole thing holistically, not just add a little point solution here and there.
So you talk about your partners that you work with. How do you integrate their different products into what you produce and provide for your clients?
Yeah. And this is what I love about our process, because we think first of our client and then what are our client's customers and what is their experience. One of the best exercises when I first meet somebody in the C-suite is I ask, like, when's the last time you've called your own company? And that is eye-opening, right? Put the phone in the middle and call and listen to how it is. How long does it ring? Did you get disconnected? What is that person answering the phone like? Because that's your brand ambassador for your company. And so there's little things like that that say, okay, this is where we're at now. And then now look where we can go. And it's kind of amazing how where you can go. I'm amazed every day.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that in my last position at a large hospital, you know, even as the chief operating officer, I'd pick up the phone and call various departments and secret shop. And you know, you're exactly right. You want to know what's going on. You want to know, you know, what that real face of your organization, you know, how that comes across. And the other thing too is, you know, there's so much data in healthcare, and I think just using AI to be able to congeal that data into something that is usable, frankly, you know, we had. Oh my gosh. Every patient, we get some sort of patient satisfaction survey. You know, you're lucky if you get 5% of those back, but and typically, am I right? Those 5%, those are all people who are not happy. I mean, if I'm happy, I'm not going to take the time to send something back, but then, you know, being able to really, you know, synthesize those into topics that you can really address, you know, is that the type of things that you guys are doing?
Yeah, that's a really, really good one. Yeah, I think our numbers are even lower than that. Like we've seen, you know, 2%, and you know, 2% fill out a survey, half of, you know, 1% will actually leave a comment that's helpful. So a small fraction. Here's one perfect example of how to use that. So you've already, you know, I want to hear from my patients. I want to know what they're saying about my company. You can build models, and this is what we've done is we built a model that has about 54 different characteristics of one of your customers. And you say a happy customer has these characteristics, a neutral one has these, and a detractor, an upset person has these. And these person, the people that are upset, they call you more, they complain more. There's a lot of cost associated with them. And when you build this model of what it looks like, you don't have to do surveys anymore. Because now your model will tell you these patients are going to be happy. Hey, how about we put them into a loyalty program, help them post on social media how they're happy with us. The neutrals, we can surprise and delight them, turn them into people who are really happy. And then these detractors, if I know you're going to have a problem in 30 days, if I know within a 96% certainty you're going to be upset, I can figure out why and solve it now. So that's where you see huge improvements.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, because, you know, there are going to be parts of every patient experience that, you know, you as an operator know intuitively it's going to be a problem. Hey, guess what? Nobody's ever happy when they have to go to the emergency department and wait, right? I'm assuming that, you know, you can use different aspects of AI to bring that data together to really decide, okay, is it truly the wait? Or is it the fact that nobody came out and set an expectation of the wait time? Or was it, hey, the TV was too loud, or, you know, parking was terrible, you know, all of that. You know, is that a real way to be able to use AI to bring in that data together?
That is a perfect example, because otherwise you're kind of guessing, right? I think I think they're upset with this. I would be upset with that. I'm not really sure. And then when you put AI to it and you really take all of this data, and I'm not talking about data like you'd normally build a Power BI dashboard and the data that you have, you think of all the data that you have, all the interactions on social media, through email, through phones, like there's a lot macroeconomic data of where you live. You put all that together and you build that profile. It's so much more than any kind of survey, more than anybody's even seen.
Yeah. Okay. So are your clients hospitals and health systems, or are you outside of hospitals and health systems, or what?
Yeah, health systems, insurance companies, okay. And pharmaceutical. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to hear about the insurance companies, because come on, you know, rarely are people happy when they have to call the insurance company. So what kind of solutions are you bringing forth to them to help them improve their patient or their client experience?
Mm-hmm. And I will say some are very committed to this, and it's great working with them, because you see the future of what the insurance company can be, what a payer can be. And some are moving really, really quickly. You'll see number three become two, become one. It'll be interesting. A perfect example, if I'm a patient, put myself in that role, and I get surprised by a bill, and I have no way to question that bill, or what am I supposed to do? So one of just dialing it back to communication and transparency. And those insurance providers that are really transparent, really communicating with the providers, communicating with the patients, communicating in a way that 24 hours a day, anytime I want, I can go onto my phone, know exactly what's happening, where my copay is, how is my process, where's the status of my prior authorization. If I have that, as long as I know, even if I don't like it, it's at least I know. It's the ones that have no visibility. Like, where is this thing? What am I supposed to do? Then your frustration goes so high.
Okay, let's go back to hospitals and health systems. You know, intuitively as an operator, you know, I can tell you, you know, like my ER example, what is your data telling you, you know, about, hey, these are the pain points in the hospital, and these are solutions as to how to address those?
So, the data tells us one thing, but also talking to people tell us one thing too. So we hear a lot from all of those. And I'll say, here's where hospitals have really used data in a couple of ways really well. Number one is this predictive modeling, like I talked about. If you're in an emergency room and you want to reduce your sepsis, you want to reduce readmissions, you can predict with a high accuracy who is going to come back to you in what amount of time. And if you knew that, how would you treat them differently? You would call them differently. You would make sure that they got their medication. There's many things that you could do and automate a lot of it. And the other one that's really big is taking away the manual work, so that the nurse, the doctor, they can work at the top of their license and really care about that patient. And that's the notes, the ambient AI, there's so many different ways that we can improve that. And they love it.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, that we found in my hospital is, you know, if we can take away that busy work, if you will, to allow everybody to work at the top of their license, I mean, that's going to improve patient experience right there. And it's also going to improve employee satisfaction, you know, because, you know, we talk so much about patient experience within hospitals and systems. But really, truly, you know, this was something I learned early in my career whenever, you know, I was part of a beta site for this thing called service excellence in a large Catholic system 25 years ago. You know, if your associates or your employees are happy, your patients are going to be happy because they're able to provide better care. And so, you know, not only that, number one, But number two, yeah, the whole AI thing that we saw was just overall efficiency, not only for staff, but for, you know, MRI. And I've talked a lot about that on the podcast as well. You know, being able to take scan times from 30 minutes, sometimes down to 6 minutes, you know, that's going to do nothing but increase patient satisfaction as well, because particularly in MRI, there's a lot of people who are claustrophobic who just, you know, would decline an MRI just for that reason. And so if you can tell them, look, you're only going to be in there in about 5 or 6 minutes, and we're going to have a better scan than we would have had, you know, with you being in there 30 minutes plus. That's going to do a lot for their patient satisfaction. So every hospital is striving to improve on their patient sat. You know, a lot of hospitals certainly use Press Ganey and you know, Gallup and all the other firms. What kind of impact have you seen for your clients through Cyclum as far as bringing them up those rankings within those various platforms?
You know, and those platforms are only as good as the data that comes in. And what happens is they'll actually leapfrog. So right now, if you're getting better and you probably got process improvement, you're incrementally improving as a hospital system, right? We're going to get a little bit better each day, so forth. What can happen is you can leapfrog and have this big dynamic jump, like a hockey stick up. And the reason is, if I have that big list of things that matter to my patient, right? And number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you've probably got projects that you're investing in that are number 27, 43. Like if you do, yeah, you know, even if you do them, what did it really do? But if you can get everybody aligned to those top five, whoa, you're, every investment that you make driving that patient experience and your profitability, that's the home run right there.
Yeah. You know, we talk, and I've had a lot of folks lately talking about the healthcare workforce, you know, the fact that we're in crisis mode across the board. We don't have enough people to provide care with an increasing patient population. So, you know, being able to prioritize those projects, as you said, the ones that will make the biggest impact, you know, as a hospital operator, you know, that's what I'm looking at. What sets Cyclum apart from other folks that, you know, are in this AI, even non-AI patient sat space?
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. One thing is we're a global company, so we have to meet all the requirements of Europe and the United States. And there's a lot of very heightened requirements. If you have to meet the whole global requirements, you're coming into a good spot, safety and security wise. Second thing is I don't have a product to sell. Like we work with every vendor and we build custom. So if you don't need something, I'm not trying to sell you something. And that's where we can give really good advice. And the third thing that I know sets us apart is how many from our CEO on down come from healthcare. Like I spent 20 years at CVS and we understand from the inside. So not only go in and we give advice, it's not because we want to sell something or make more money. It's because, hey, this actually will help you and work. And people really respond well to that.
Yeah. I was told early in my career, you know, everybody delivers care kind of about the same, right? You know, they provide that, but it's how they deliver that care. And, you know, you can tell a real difference, you know, particularly me, you know, spending 36 years in this industry. You know, I can walk into any hospital and within 5 seconds tell you, you know, hey, this is a great hospital that cares about their patients, or this is like, you know, I'm waiting for Nurse Ratched to come out from behind the nursing station. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for you young people. You might want to pull that movie up. But yeah, I mean, I know, you know, I know what works. You can feel it. You can sense it. It's always nice to have the data, but you know, gut feeling a lot of times, you know, really makes a difference. Yeah. You know, I walked into one hospital one time, this beautiful hospital, brand new hospital. You walk in, they've got a player grand piano in the lobby. So what do you think I'm thinking about their care? This is elite care. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, honestly, I do. They do provide great care, but man, First impression of the player piano over there, this is great. You know, I've also been into hospitals that have spent millions of dollars in, you know, one had an internal waterfall. It was beautiful. It had that ambient water noise. You're very calm. Their care was terrible. So you've got to be able to use that data appropriately to direct you to what's going to make the biggest impact. So give my listeners and audience three areas that, you know, you think would make the biggest impact on a hospital's patient satisfaction. Just, I thought I'd put you on the spot for that one.
No, that's fine. That's fine because I can talk about where it does. You know, we've seen high ROIs. One that comes up is being proactive, not reactive. You can be much more predictive. You can reduce readmissions. You can provide better care using the right modeling and analytics. And when you do that, you see service go up. The second one is automation. So doctors love it when they have the ambient AI and you can talk and it takes your notes and starts your action items for you instead of having to type over here and not make eye contact. So there's any place that you can automate notes, syncing them together with the provider and with the insurance company. There's so many ways to do that that people really appreciate, patients do also. And then I'd say the third one on here, maybe this is more of a, it's like legacy systems. You've grown up with this old way of doing things and you've got some new technology out here. And I feel like there's so much opportunity to say, instead of doing the way things we've already always done them, let's look for ways to really supercharge the experience. And it's amazing how it doesn't cost that much and it's really fast to be able to have these big improvements.
In today's healthcare environment, we already talked about we don't have enough people to provide the care. Reimbursement continues to go down. And and so, you know, you're not only limited on the human capital, you're limited on other capital too. Not saying it's causing you to provide, you know, provide poor care, but you're not being able to optimize that care as in the past. Yeah. So it's how you deliver that care is making such a big impact on people. And so that's why, you know, it's kind of like in the old days when a hospital was having a financial issue. So what was the first place they cut? They cut marketing and business development, right? It's like, wait a minute, you know, you need to get patients in the door. Well, now I'm seeing systems go, you know, we got to cut back a little bit. So we're going to cut back on this fluffy stuff, like patient experience. And frankly, that's the last place that you need to, that you need to impact because that is what's setting you apart now.
Yeah.
You know, go back to what I said earlier, everybody delivers care. It's how you deliver it that sets you apart. If you're delivering average care with really, you know, grumpy staff, what do you expect you're going to get on your surveys? So, okay. Well, last couple of minutes, Brett, hit me hard with how can Sycklem really impact a hospital in 90 days?
Well, first of all, it's a great question right there. There's so many different opportunities here. And so I think it's premature to say this is the exact one way because I don't know the hospital. But when you do talk to people, there are definitely ways. One, they have plenty of data everywhere, and they're not really sure how to use it. So that's one way. Within 30 days, you can use your data, get rid of Tableau, get rid of Power BI, make one line, and now you have all your beautiful dashboards that you want. Now you're making better decisions. Now you have better reporting, and you're automating this manual work that you can now focus on other things. There's plenty of quick wins also just in the digital tools that you have. Like there are some products that are really good products. And if you can sync those products together, that creates not only a really good experience for internal and external, but it lowers your cost of service overall. And those are two easy ones, easy wins that usually we would start with.
Fair enough. Well, hey, Brett, I've really enjoyed having you on. Again, any way that we can improve patient experience, I'm all for. And it sounds like you guys have got the tools to help hospitals and systems really prioritize those projects that they need to be focusing on to ensure that that their patient experience improves and provides a better picture of the care that they're providing for their patients. So thanks a lot. Hey, folks, Brett Kylik, Vice President of Healthcare Solutions for Sycklem, join me today. If you don't hear it, my voice, I'm passionate about customer experience. I'm passionate about patient experience, you know, and so there's lots of ways that we can really improve our environment in the hospital to ensure that patients not only are getting high quality care, but feel valued and feel heard. And that's all patients want, because as I always say, people don't come to the hospital, for something good outside of a birth of a baby. They're typically there on their very worst day of their life. And so we need to do everything that we can to improve that time for them. With that, I'm Kevin Stevenson. Thanks for joining me on this week's episode of I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.